Most of you are familiar with the fact that Father Yurok and I both grew up on farms. He up by in Marion County. He was a hog farmer up there by Tampa, Kansas. And I grew up down by Ark City, Dexter, Kansas. And we had goats and sheep and that sort of thing. And it dawned on me as I was kind of looking around the church that there are hogs and there are goats and sheep in this church in our stained glass. So in the back stained glass over here, we have the prodigal son, who at the very lowest point of his life, the lowest of the low, he's a hog farmer. The bottom of the totem pole are the hog farmers. And then in this stained glass, we have Jesus, the good shepherd, with the sheep and the goats. Right? It just worked out that way. I mean, the worst point of his life was when he was a hog farmer for the prodigal son. So, anyways, but I mean, the idea of sheep and goats is kind of lost on us. The imagery of shepherd, I mean, I don't know how many of you guys shepherd sheep, but probably not too many, I would guess. But I have done a little bit of shepherding of sheep. And I can tell you, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again, being called a sheep is not a compliment. It's not. They are dumb. They're very, very dumb animals. That's why they have to have a shepherd. And here we are in Kansas, and you look outside, especially right now with all the rain we've had, and everything is green and lush and leaves on the trees. And you think of, you know, Psalm 23 that we heard today, in verdant pastures, he gives me repose. Beside restful waters, he leads me. He refreshes my soul. And we have this imagery of this field of alfalfa that's, you know, chest deep, and these sheep are just kind of wading through it, eating at their heart's content. But that's not the situation that we're talking about in Jerusalem. Shepherding in Jerusalem is like you drive along and it's rocks. You know, you think, do these sheep eat dirt or what? Because there's nothing but rocks and dirt out there. Nothing. It's like miles and miles and miles of rocks. Unless you actually get out there and you walk out in the field a little bit, and then you'll see that what happens is that there's the wind comes in off the Mediterranean or sometimes off the Sea of Galilee, and it carries just enough moisture that when it hits the shady side of a rock, because the front side of the rock is hot, the shady side is cool, it makes just enough of a temperature change that it'll condense the moisture that's in the air to get just a couple of drops of water that come down, and on the front of those rocks, you'll have two or three blades of grass. That's what we're talking about. That's the kind of shepherding that we have. And so no wonder why the sheep would go from place to place to place, and they would stray miles looking for just a couple of tufts of grass because there's really nothing to eat. That's the shepherding situation that we're talking about here. And it's interesting that sheep are not like other forms of livestock. It's not like cattle, you know, and you see the old great John Wayne movies with the cattle drives. How, you know, you drive cattle, you push them, you basically make a horseshoe with horses, and you drive the cattle wherever you want them to go. If you want them to go that way, you kind of direct them. You can't drive sheep the same way. It doesn't work the same way, especially if you don't have a horse in the desert like in Israel. Listen to what Jesus says. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. The difference between cattle and sheep is you can drive cattle. You can get behind them with a whip and you can crack it and you can yell and you can basically steer them where you want them to go. Sheep have to have someone to follow. They need a leader to follow, right? So when you shepherd, it's actually a relationship of trust. Cattle don't have to trust you. You can strong arm them and make them go where you want them to go. But sheep will go, they'll scatter to the four winds. They will follow you if they trust you. That's why it says they recognize his voice. But they'll run away from the stranger because they do not recognize the voice of strangers. And that is true as well. You know, we'd have people come to our house to come to visit us out on the farm from time to time, and they'd try to call the sheep or whatever, they might look up and go back to grazing. They wouldn't have anything to do with them. But unless, of course, they had some sort of grain or a treat or something like that. If they heard grain shaking in a can, they'd come running for miles around, and they didn't care. They'd be friends with anybody. But in general, like, they knew who I was. They knew my brothers, and that we had our own little whistle or own little call that we'd have, and they would follow us wherever we needed to move them from pasture to pasture. It's a relationship of trust. And so it's interesting that this is one of perhaps the single most commonly used imagery of God and his people is sheep. 400 times throughout Scripture, sheep are mentioned. 400 times. This is the image that God gives us. And if you go to the earliest, the very first image of Christ anywhere is found in the catacombs of Rome, is Christ the Good Shepherd carrying a sheep on his shoulders. So there's something, there's a lot to be learned, a lot to be gleaned from this message tonight in terms of where we are to follow or sheep who need someone to follow. And I guess there's a couple of ways I just want to expound that a little bit. Number one, for you, as a leader, as a shepherd of your own flock, your own family, your own children, you have to be in front of them to lead. The old saying, you know, actions speak louder than words, it's almost cliche, but it's true. If you want your kids to take the faith seriously, you have to take the faith seriously. It's not enough simply to say, oh, well, you're going to Catholic school, so you'll get your education there, so I'll check that box. No. And it's not enough to say, hey, you should be praying more often. It doesn't work. You have to lead by example. Lead the way. If your kids see you on your knees, that's the most powerful catechism they're going to encounter in their whole life. That's something Father Yurok and I take very seriously. When we tell you, we've been telling you the last couple of weeks, sign up for an adoration hour. Believe me, he and I are on our knees in front of that Blessed Sacrament every single day. You have to lead from the front, by example, by witness. And even in a special way, the Mass. Think about, I mean, one of the imagery of the church is the ship, Noah's Ark. That's actually one of the types or the images that the church gives us of the church, and even the church building. We are on a journey. There's a mission. There's movement happening in the church. That's why there's a procession. That's why Mass doesn't just start on the altar. You don't just begin with priests already up here. There's a movement. There's a journey. We're supposed to be journeying. And at the front is the priest, in persona Christi Capitus, in Latin, in the person of Christ the head, leading our worship towards God. And that's what we see, and it really is expressed in a beautiful way with Mass. It's the ad orientem, facing the east, with the priest facing the same direction, leading the people literally by example of directing our prayer to God. That's the reality of what's going on here. I guess just a final thought is, in order to have that relationship of trust, in order to follow the shepherd, you have to know who the shepherd is. You have to know and recognize his voice. And there are a lot of voices competing for our attention. Do you hear the voice of the shepherd? Do you hear God's voice regularly? Do you hear him speak to you? Because if not, I guarantee you're listening to somebody's voice. Maybe it's the television network. Maybe it's social media. Maybe it's the voice of your boss. Maybe it's that voice in the back of your head that says, I need a bigger house, a faster car, and a bigger retirement program. You're listening to somebody's voice. Is it the shepherd's? Or are you going astray? May we follow that voice of our shepherd, Jesus Christ.